Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And I want to welcome you to today's program, which is going to be explosive. I want to just say it up front, folks. Today's program is going to be explosive. It's going to reveal some concerns that I have. It's going to reveal some things that need to be on the table of every Bible-believing American that's out there. I'm going to share my observations about the giant crater that's forming in America right now. And when I say the giant crater, I'm talking about the impeachment hearings / trials that are coming. I'm talking about the potential for Donald Trump to be impeached. And depending on the direction, the future of America is going to go in one of two ways. Unfortunately, none of them are going to turn out well. Because Trump is either going to be impeached or he's not. If he is impeached, then prepare for chaos, folks. And maybe civil war, martial law, maybe a false flag or two, which will then trigger the next phase of America's demise. There's a lot on the table right now. If he survives it and he is able to finish out his term, there's a very good chance that he will also win the 2020 election. And if that happens between now and then, we're also going to see some other things take place. We're going to see revenge take place. We're going to see vengeance take place. We are going to see the era, E-R-A, era of Angry Donald. And folks, up to this point, we really haven't seen what he's capable of. We haven't seen the amount of damage that he's capable of doing or that he's going to do. And if he survives this impeachment, I see a lot of destruction coming. He's going to be very mad. He's going to want vengeance. He's going to want payback. It's going to get ugly. So prepare for chaos if he survives it. And also prepare for a national emergency, a false flag, war, and eventually persecution against the church. In addition, if he survives, prepare to see a dictatorship rise up. Prepare to see liberty decapitated. Those are the two situations we're facing. So depending on whether he is impeached or not, the outcome is still not going to be good. We are facing some horrible, horrible days ahead. We are facing a future where a man who began as a little pebble in New York City is going to go nuclear. He's going to explode into anger and great foment and rage. It's not going to be good, folks. There are prophetic glimpses that I've had over the years where I saw some things that were very disturbing. I did not understand what they meant, but now with all these events going on, they're coming more into focus. The disturbing future is becoming more clear. So today I'm going to talk about all of these things. I'm going to have to share the truth about the man in the White House. And some of you folks aren't going to like it, but I'm not doing it because I want an alternative or I wish for an alternative or I believe a Democrat is the answer or a savior. That's not why I'm doing this, folks. I have to do this so that you can know the truth because there's no option, really. There is no rescue out of this mess. This is going to affect everybody. It's going to affect the whole world. It's going to be a mess, potentially a horrible mess. And if the worst case scenario comes into play, it's going to become nightmarish. So I'm going to share how we got here and where we're headed. Grab a pen and take notes and share this program with everybody that you know. All right, folks, are you ready to hear the truth? Then I want to ask for your undivided attention and to really take in what I have to share here. Pray about the things that you hear and respond accordingly with looking inside your heart and your soul and your spirit. If you're struggling with sin and you need to repent and you need to forsake the things of the earth, I want to encourage you to do that because the days ahead are going to be hard and difficult. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not saying it's going to happen next week or next month. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I see America getting capsized in the future. I see the land of the free and the home of the brave spilling out her goodness into the earth. And I also see the sun going down. It's going to get dark, folks. America's going to change. America is going to morph into something else. Now, over the past few years, I've talked about how America is one of the layers of Babylon. In the Bible, we can read about End Time Babylon, Mystery Babylon, The Daughter of Babylon. There's layers to Babylon. And I have proposed that America is one of the layers of Babylon. And if that's the case, then that means that we would be able to look at the prophecies about End Time Babylon and Mystery Babylon and Babylon's behavior, Babylon's resume, Babylon's temperament, and compare it to what we see going on now in real time. And when we do that, it's interesting that we can see some comparisons. However, the comparisons are not going to be complete because eventually End Time Babylon will have a certain appearance. It will have certain appendages. It will have certain tendencies. It will have a certain way of doing things. And so far in America, we are not there yet because the morphing is not complete. However, we're headed there, folks. And we can read about the temperament and the resume and the credentials of End Time Babylon in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, as well as Revelation 17 and 18, and also other places. And when we look at the description of Babylon in the Bible, we can read that it has a king that the Bible nicknames and symbolically calls Nebuchadnezzar. So End Time Babylon will have a king who will be a historical shadow of the previous Nebuchadnezzar. I have also proposed this, that End Time Babylon's Nebuchadnezzar will be the villain that we read about. That guy, the Antichrist, the lawless one, the little horn, will come from End Time Babylon. Because Jeremiah 50 and 51 talk about Nebuchadnezzar, and it mentions that Nebuchadnezzar is not a nice guy. He's going to be a bad guy, and he will be boastful. And then when we look into Daniel chapter 7, 8, and 11, we can also read about the temperament of this person. And this person is a very pompous person. The Bible tells us he's going to be very pompous. He's going to be a braggart. He's going to be a narcissist. He's going to think that he's all that he's the best of everything. He'll be full of himself. He'll be prideful, arrogant. He will be ambitious. He will be selfish. He will love money. He will love wealth. He will love riches. He will love the military. He will love power. There's a lot of elements that this person's going to possess, the little horn, the Antichrist. And at this point in time, I've also said this, folks, my number one candidate for that person is Donald Trump. Now, I know that a lot of folks out there have their own theology. A lot of you have been influenced with theology in the past. You have heard different theories, the Hal Lindsey theories, the Tim LaHaye theories. But I also want to challenge with this, folks. If you do have those other theories, you can leave them on the table, but also place Donald Trump on the table. Be willing to place another candidate on the table because he's the number one suspect at the moment. He fits. His resume fits. The way he acts fits. His temperament nails it to a T. His temperament looks like it was written. When we read Daniel 7 and 8 and 11 about the Antichrist, the boastful one, it matches Donald Trump to a T. A T, right? Quote unquote, Trump, T. So I'm very concerned, folks, because right now we're looking at Donald Trump being impeached and kicked out of office, leaving office, like Nixon, or not. So we're watching that. But at the same time, we're also watching a giant propaganda campaign by people on the right, by his propaganda ministers and clerics, who are saying that the accusations against him about bribery and the misdeeds that were committed in Ukraine are all made up and they're lies and it didn't happen. We're hearing that on Fox News and in Trump's tweets. However, reality tells a different story. The witnesses are telling a different story. We have many witnesses now who have come forward and are sharing their accounts. They're sharing notes, memos, emails that prove that Trump indeed did take part in all that. And on this program, I'm going to share a number of those things. I'm going to share with you how that's playing out so that you can know the truth. Because if your source of this fiasco is only Fox News, you're not going to hear the whole thing. We're going to talk about that on this program. We're going to visit it. Additionally, I need to say this, folks. I believe we've turned the corner. We have turned the corner into a very dark future where America is continuing her morph, her transition into Mystery Babylon. Now, when we look in Revelation chapter 18, there's an interesting passage. It says in Revelation 18:2, Babylon the great, folks, make America great, MAGA, Babylon the great is fallen. It's fallen and has become the dwelling place of demons, a prison of every foul spirit, which are demons, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. Now, a few programs ago, I talked about that. I talked about how Babylon will become the destination resort for demons in the end times. And these demon creatures, these monsters from hell, will immigrate to Babylon and they won't be able to leave. And Babylon will become a giant incarceration camp for these demons. Now, we talked about that and we read it right here. Demons are going to end up in Babylon. If America is Babylon, then that would mean that all these evil spirits and demons are going to immigrate to America. They will dwell in America because it says Babylon has become the dwelling place. So they will dwell in America, Babylon, but they won't be able to leave. It will be a prison, a cage for every hateful bird. So that means it will be a place where they can't leave. Now that's in the spiritual realm, but what about the physical realm? Will we also see a shadow of that very same thing in the physical realm with us, with humans, with government policy? In other words, will the United States become a place that turns into a giant birdcage for American citizens? Will it? Maybe so, folks. But if it does, then that means the American people will become a nation of citizens who are perched in a cage, staring through a chain link fence. So the prophecy in Revelation 18, verse 2 tells us that the land of the good old party, the GOP, is going to become a different party. And the home of the brave is going to morph into the land of the downcast prisoners yearning to be free. Now, most folks would argue that the end times will change the world into a dictatorship. And if that's true, then we must also agree that Uncle Sam is going to get replaced with a different uncle. But the only problem is that American evangelicals never thought that the red, white, and blue would turn orange with Trump's head of gold. They never thought that. They never saw it coming, even though it stared them in the face, even though the rest of the world could see it, and even though most non-Christians could see it. See, that's what's so amazing. It's the Christians, the evangelicals, who can't see it. They didn't see it coming, even though a few lone voices called it out, including this one, including me. I called it out, folks. I've been calling it out. I've been yelling it and shouting it from the wall. But sadly, a lot of folks who didn't want to hear it got mad at me. They got angry. They lifted their fist up toward me as I was up on the wall, just reporting what I saw. They lifted their fist and shouted expletives at me. They shouted insults and expletives and said, "We don't want you anymore. You're fired. Get away. I'm not going to listen to you anymore," etc., etc. But folks, my calling is not dictated on the popularity vote, on polling of the church. I do this because God expects me to do it. That's why. So as I'm up here on the wall, I must report, folks, that America is teetering. And also the souls of America's men and women are also teetering in confusion. And it's a location where the American church has pivoted into hypocrisy. And the evangelical leaders have made their choice and have bitten into the forbidden fruit of lies and then shared their portion with the body of Christ, with the elect. You know, folks, back in the Dark Ages, the clerics of Rome told the people how to think and what to think. The clerics of Rome, the Roman Church, Roman Catholic Church, the priests told the people that they didn't know as much as the priests, so they needed to allow the priests to do their thinking for them. And we know this. We know this from history. And the evangelicals love to remind themselves that the Catholics controlled their folks and treated them like blind lemmings. Those horrible Catholics. Rome is the devil. Look what they did to everyone. But now, here we are in 2019, and the Protestant clerics are doing the same thing. They have convinced American Christians to support the man behind the curtain and believe him. Because after all, he has a head of gold. And that man, ladies and gentlemen, if he remains in office, he's going to be the one who incarcerates America and turns her into the prison that we read about in Revelation 18:2. America has become a prison. Donald Trump's going to do that. And it's happening now. It's happening now, folks. The clash of the political titans, where the executive branch is fighting everybody else. And if Trump prevails with this impeachment, fasten your seatbelts. And also, folks, let me say this. Watch over your kids. Pray for your kids. Because there's a chance that your kids are going to get recruited. They're going to get impounded. And your kids are going to be forcefully taught how to do the goose step march. You know that march that the Germans did with their knees straight? Because Trump is going to take control of the military and he's going to draft your children and he's going to send them off to loot the world as he pleases. That's what we're facing, folks. Already he's doing it. He's grabbing the oil in Syria, which is a war crime, by the way. It's illegal, but that's what he's doing. Folks, the evidence is out there. The evidence is before our eyes. The evidence is in the proof. It's been revealed. But how many folks will believe it? And how many will dismiss it? How many of God's people within the sound of my voice are going to give the key to their house away to the lawless man in the White House? How many are going to do it? You're going to give your keys away, folks? You're going to give away the keys to your spiritual longevity, to your security, to your assurance, and place the keys of trust into the golden child in the White House? Nathan, I don't like what I'm hearing. Folks, I have to tell the truth. I have to tell the truth. And by the way, why are you mad at me? If I share this stuff and it's true, even though it's blunt, but it's true. If I share this, why are you mad at me? Why are you angry with me? Why do you have to type out angry emails to me for telling the truth? I'm not the one molesting the principles of virtue and integrity and truth with lies and deception. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you the truth, folks. And here's the truth. A dictator is incubating in the Oval Office. That's the truth. That is something to be concerned about, because an authoritarian is sharpening his talons and a deceiver is salivating with their forked tongue and lying to you. He's lying to all of you. He's lying to all of us. So from the wall, I'm watching all of this take place. So I come to you today, and as I share these things, I want to just, I guess I need to say up front that if you are a diehard Donald Trump loyalist, I won't say supporter, because you can support Donald Trump, but still be vigilant. I'm talking about a loyalist that does not question his actions. If you are a Donald Trump loyalist, you're probably not going to like what I'm going to share today. You probably won't, because you're going to hear some information that goes against what Donald Trump claims. And it goes against the spin that you're hearing on YouTube, on the internet, on Block Talk Radio, from pulpits. Most of the church right now in America who follows Donald Trump is being fed lies. Right now, folks, presently, they're being fed lies. Lies are in the atmosphere. Lies are in the air. Lies, falsehoods, fables. And because of those lies, if the plan that the powers of darkness have undertaken and have commenced and have begun already here in America, if those lies continue, we will see liberty decapitated. We will see America enter into the dark phase of its Babylonian resurrection. We will see Babylon sprout officially here in the land of America, which will include the loss of freedom. It will bring about a police state. It will bring about martial law. It will destroy the freedom of the church. It will be a great betrayal that takes place if their plan continues. And based on what I'm watching, we're headed that way. And unfortunately, the reason we're going to get there is because the church is sitting on their hands and is listening to lies from Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to be the emperor of the world. The fruit speaks for itself, folks. Donald Trump has made it very clear that he doesn't want to leave office. He's made it very clear that he wants 3 terms or 4 terms or 5 terms or 6 terms. He's made it very clear that after the 2020 election, he wants to go for 2024 and then 2028. He has said it. He has said that his supporters want him to be reimbursed for the lost 2 years of the Mueller investigation, so he's owed 2 years there. He has pulled out all the stops. He's firing from both hands. We already have a template to compare to. Hitler did it. Hitler did what Trump's doing right now. We've seen it already. We've seen where they used the legal channels to get rid of all their opposition. America is turning into an authoritarian country. Trump is following the playbook of Hitler. He's following it right now, folks. When that guy does show up eventually, is he going to show up with a t-shirt announcing who he is? Is he going to tell everybody who he is? Will he? No, he will not. The Bible says so. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. It's according to Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So he's going to have all power from Satan. He's going to be able to do signs and have lying wonders. He will lie. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them, what? What will God do? God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. God will send them strong delusion. Nathan, don't you know that Trump has been sent by God? Okay, let's visit that for a moment. According to some folks, Trump has been sent by God to deliver the church and bring revival to the church. Seriously, Trump's going to bring revival to the church. Revival means holiness. Revival means a turn to our first love. Revival means repentance. Revival means backslidden folks come back to the cross. Trump's not doing that. So if God was going to send Trump to bring revival, it hasn't shown up yet. But I know what has shown up: chaos, hatred, darkness, an atmosphere of disdain, an atmosphere of contempt against everybody, an atmosphere of selfishness, an atmosphere of boisterous arrogance. That's what has come. And an atmosphere in a daily cycle that repeats itself over and over as the sun comes up of lies, and then more lies, and then denial of the lies, and then support of the lies over and over and over every day. Donald Trump tweets lies every day. He does these campaign speeches with lies and deception every day. He has his own version of reality. He lies, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm amazed that Pastor Jeffries or Liberty University's Jerry Falwell Jr. will defend it, or Jay Sekulow, the quote-unquote Christian attorney who used to work for CBN, Pat Robertson. It is amazing to me that people who call themselves Christians can work inside the churning cesspool of darkness and hatred and disdain. It surprises me that Christians support that and they don't call it out and they don't raise their hand in the back of the room and say something's wrong here. It amazes me, folks. Donald Trump operates in deception every day. And we can read in 2 Thessalonians, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion. So instead of Trump being sent as a Cyrus figure, let me offer this. Trump has been sent to bring deception. Yes, God allowed it, but he didn't allow it to bring greatness. He has been allowed the red carpet to bring deception, to see how many hearts of men will be okay with it, to observe how many people in the church would see his behavior and dismiss it and wink at it and look the other way, to see how many people in the church would choose patriotism and political partisanship over what the Bible says. Trump has been sent to identify the faith of every one of us here in America and in the world. Trump has been sent to pinpoint where we are with our love for the truth. Trump has been sent to America to find out your love for the truth, my friend. He has been sent to find out if you choose the truth over his words. And he has been sent to identify if you can tell the difference between his words and the truth. See, folks, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And as I said a moment ago, if you are a Trump loyalist, you're not going to like what I have to say, because this is taking place right now. And it's very disturbing, because if Trump prevails, and I give it a 50-50 chance, I don't even know if he's going to prevail or not. I don't know if he's the Antichrist. I don't know. I hope he's not. I hope he's just a crazy man who showed up for a snapshot of time and is going to be recorded as the low point where Americans forgot their discernment. And by the way, that's the best case scenario. If Jesus tarries, there's no way to spin Trump's session as the president as something that was good for this country, because it's not. Trump has destroyed so many things. He has destroyed families. He has destroyed immigrants. And now a lot of our Kurdish brethren are being massacred in Syria. They're being massacred right now by Turkish bombs and bullets. They're being massacred by Russian forces now, the Kurds. Hundreds of thousands of them are being displaced because Trump took it upon himself to side with the Russians, to give Syria to the Russians and to Turkey so that they could carve it up. There's no way to spin that one, folks. And there's so many things that are taking place. Every day I watch the news cycle in amazement, because I can see for myself, I can hear the things he says at his rallies, like today, like yesterday, like the day before. I hear what he says, but then Fox will report it and spin it around and make it sound like something that it's not. Fox News is the Joseph Goebbels of Donald Trump. Joseph Goebbels was the minister of propaganda for Adolf Hitler in the 30s. And that's what Fox News is. Trump has two arms for his propaganda machine. He has his Twitter account and Fox News. And if Fox News is your main source of news and that's the only thing you hear, you're being lied to, my friend. By the way, I appreciate those of you that are awake. I so much appreciate those of you who have your eyes open and you can see through this fog of deception, because it's a mess out there, folks, and it's going to get bad. Now, I said a moment ago, there's a 50-50 chance he'll prevail. If he doesn't prevail and he gets impeached or he gets voted out, then we'll be able to look back. And then as the dust settles, then we'll be able to see. And you will be able to see, if you're having a problem with what I'm saying right now, if Trump is not the Antichrist and if he gets voted out of office, you yourself are going to see the truth come out. You will see that the truth will reveal that Donald Trump was deceiving everybody, that he was operating against the Constitution, that he was serving himself. His hand was in the cookie jar. He was involved in bribery. He was involved in money laundering. He was involved in backroom deals with dictators in Europe, off the record. We're going to find this out. But if he doesn't get voted out or impeached and he wins a second term, then I want to advise this, folks. Fasten your seatbelt. Whether you're a Trump supporter or not, the truth is also going to start being revealed over who he really is. Those demon principalities that are operating inside of him are going to start becoming stronger and more pronounced, and they're going to start revealing their true colors and intent. Because if Trump wins a second term, we're going to see America under a dictatorship. We're going to see parts of the Constitution that get trampled on. We're going to see the executive branch of the U.S. government become the premier ruling portion of American politics. Nathan, are you absolutely positive? I give it a very high probability. And if I turn out to be wrong, praise God, I'll take it. I will be wrong. I will admit that I was wrong. But if Trump wins a second term, we're in trouble, folks. Because he's either one of two things. He's either a guy that just wants to be the king, and he's going to pull it off. He'll be a dictator for a while until his time comes out, because he is old. If the Lord tarries, he'll just be a dictator. If he's not the Antichrist, he's still going to be a dictator. And he's going to get us into wars. He's going to oversee and officiate the destruction of America's financial system, of the dollar, and he's going to oversee crazy, crazy military campaigns where America supports the villains instead of our allies. And a lot of people are going to suffer. A lot of people are going to hurt. Nathan, do you think so? Yes, I think so, ladies and gentlemen. I do. And around the corner is inclement weather that's going to pound the surf of America, the shores of America, and the lives of God's people in America. Ladies and gentlemen, that was my introduction. Now, before we move any further, I want to just check in with Allison over in Berlin. And if you heard the last program, I introduced her to all of you, and I just want to chime in with her over there and just see how she's doing briefly. So, Allison, are you there? How is Berlin? How are things going over there?
I'm taking care of my dad right now. My mom is wrapping things up in Texas. My dad is 90, and he cannot live by himself. And my parents have a house in Texas, and they have to sell it, and that's what they're doing. My mom's in the process of selling the house in Texas, and so I'm staying at my parents' apartment in Berlin, and I'm taking care of my dad because my father is in no way able to take care of himself at this point. He's alert, but he is physically impaired, so I have to be there and taking care of him. And we have a beautiful, beautiful fall right now. Very sunny October so far. And I'm kind of wrapping up my life in Berlin and the last couple months of work. And I'm getting ready to start selling my stuff in my apartment because I can't take it with me. So that's, oh, and I'm taking care of the important stuff. If anybody's listening and would feel like you would like to pray for this situation, I would please ask any of you to do it because I'll be very grateful. Since my son is coming with me to the United States and he doesn't have American citizenship, he only has a German citizenship, it would be very, very good if we could get his American citizenship going. The only problem is that he's 19 years old and it's a little bit more difficult for me to apply for his citizenship as an American mom after the age of 18. So I would greatly appreciate any prayers for matters at the embassy to be taken care of and that his citizenship could be sped up.
And speaking of which, didn't Donald Trump just change the policies on immigration and policy on immigrants and on American citizens living abroad, including service members who are serving the country? Can you comment on that?
Yeah. has health care, and he's made it immensely difficult for, especially, okay, this is the deal, people overseas, the service members overseas that are serving the United States overseas, risking their lives, if they have children overseas, and one of the parents is a non-American, let's say you're a serviceman and you're stationed, and you marry a woman from that country and you have a child with her, your child does not automatically get American citizenship anymore. And he's also making it a lot more difficult for expats living abroad, and that when they have children, they can't just bring them back to the United States with them when they come back. And, you know, it's not always a decision that you don't want to live in the United States and that you're an enemy of the state if you live abroad. It's just sometimes a situation in the family, your work decided, your profession. So Trump is damaging his own people. He's damaging Americans that are forced through circumstances to live abroad. I mean, look at these service members serving the United States. They are getting a second-class treatment by the United States government, risking their lives for the country, but then their children don't automatically get American citizenship when they return.
Wow.
You go out there, and you're willing to die for your country, send out on a mission, but your child will not receive American citizenship automatically.
That is so messed up.
That is absolutely messed up. Absolutely. So,
Trump supporters, where's the outcry in the military and his base?
Yeah.
So we'll have the listeners pray with us for all that to work out.
That would be really nice.
For your son.
Yeah. And that all the needed papers will be found and that it will suffice for my son to receive American citizenship. That would be really, really wonderful. It will make things a lot easier.
All right, Allison. Well, thank you for chiming in. And you take care over there in Berlin. And we'll be praying for you. And the listening audience is also going to be praying for you. And we look forward to you coming over here to the States in a few months.
Yeah, it was great talking to you. And I hope everything is going well over there. And I'm looking forward to being part of this show again in the future.
And that was Allison. Ladies and gentlemen, I interviewed her in the last program. Allison's going to be a part of my future. She's going to be a part of my life in the coming months. And the Lord has orchestrated this. If you haven't heard or you're not aware, or you can go to the website, watchmanscry.com. And I interviewed her and shared the disclosure of Allison being the future of my life. And I will have her chime in from time to time. And also, I plan to interview her several times in the future. So be looking forward to that. We do appreciate your prayers for her son's paperwork to be worked out. He's 19 years old, and Donald Trump has made it more difficult for immigrants to come over here. And by the way, he's not really an immigrant. He actually qualifies for citizenship. There's just some paperwork that has to be worked out. So we could use your prayers for that to all be worked out. And also be praying for God's provision as the days get closer for her to come over here, that God would provide the funds that we will need in order to move her over here. As you know, it's expensive to move, even in the States. So be praying for that, folks. And we appreciate all of you who have welcomed Allison. Many of you have welcomed her with open arms, and you've been very kind to her. A number of you have sent very kind letters and emails and messages, and we appreciate it, folks. We're real excited on what God's going to be doing, the future of this ministry. And if you appreciate the truthful message, the message that is presented here, then I appreciate your support. So if you can see the value, be one of the ones to help us here in the Watchman's Cry family to continue this work. Our address is Watchman's Cry. That's WATCHMANS Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to the website at watchmanscry.com, and there's a link there to donate. All right, folks? I want to say thank you to all of you who celebrated with me, who have been sending me encouraging words in the new direction that Watchman's Cry is headed. If you don't know what I'm talking about, in the previous program, I introduced my future with all of you. I introduced Allison. And if you haven't heard that program, you can go to the website, watchmanscry.com, and the program's there. You can listen to it. I interviewed her. She shared from Berlin, Germany, who she is and her heart and I appreciate all the kind words and letters and notes that I received from many of you. And I want to just ask you to keep praying for her. She's there in Berlin, and I want to get her over here as soon as possible, and I want us to move forward with the next chapter. I have it mapped out for the beginning of the year, but I also want to say this, that if things deteriorate prematurely, then I am open to expediting it. Some of you wrote me privately and you said, Nathan, what if that'll hold up? What if things don't stay well? What if things get perilous? So I do have on the table as well that if need be, I will expedite everything. Now, if some of you have not heard a Watchman's Cry program in a while, like in the past year, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about right now. And I'm not going to go into it, but some things changed in my life. A chain of events occurred. Changes occurred. And you can go to the website and find the programs that reveal all of that, because I don't want to go into it. But now I'm moving forward with a new chapter of my life. God brought someone into my life. Her name is Allison, and she lives in Berlin. She's a very precious woman. She loves the Lord. She has been following the Lord for over 10 years. She's a student of Bible prophecy, and it's a miracle, folks. So I thank all of you for your encouragement. And also, please pray, continue praying that all of the pieces fit together, that the logistical challenges that are in front of both of us can get taken care of, because I have a few logistical things that just have to get taken care of to move forward. All right, folks, I'm going to be interviewing her either in the next program or the one that follows that, but pretty soon I'm going to interview her. We're going to continue introducing her so that you can get acquainted with her and see the future of Watchman's Cry is going to be secure and sound, and that God's promise of Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for good. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, getting back to what I was talking about, let's go ahead and talk about what's going on here in America and the things that have taken place recently with this impeachment and the whistleblower and the constitutional crisis that we're in right now, as well as the great deception that is taking place over the church. So there's a lot to talk about, but how does one process the political cycle when there's so much deception out there, so much theater, so much lies, so much corruption? How do we do it? And as I said earlier, in order to do this correctly, I have to call out what's happening in the political cycle, and I also have to call out what Donald Trump is doing. Unfortunately, there's a number of evangelicals out there who believe that Trump is off limits, and to talk about the end times is okay, but it must not include Trump. I get letters from folks telling me that. They say, Nathan, you should not criticize Trump. You should just talk about the Bible or Jesus or the cross or the end times, but don't talk about Trump. You're not supposed to criticize our president. You're supposed to just pray for him. That's all you're supposed to do, Nathan. Now, ladies and gentlemen, does the Bible say that? Does the Bible tell us and admonish us to look the other way when the kings and the emperors and the Caesars behave unjustly? Does the Bible say to ignore them or to go along with them or just to support them and blindly follow them? Does the Bible say that? No, it doesn't. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not blindly follow Nebuchadnezzar. They said, O king, we are not going to bow down to what you say. We're not going to participate. We're not going to do it. The disciples in the book of Acts said, we're going to obey God rather than man. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Herod was the king at the time. Jesus said, beware of Herod's leaven. In other words, beware of his words. Beware of his fruit. Beware of his action and his behavior. Beware. But Nathan, don't you know that Trump is called and he's different? So you're supposed to just leave him alone and not talk about it. Well, let me give this rebuttal to that statement. When the book of Daniel talks about the Antichrist and the little horn and the other beasts, you know, Babylon and the head of gold, those are political entities that it's talking about. Politics, folks. And Daniel 11 tells us that the end time little horn is going to operate with deception, and that little horn guy is involved in politics. Daniel promotes an entire chapter to the politics of the end times. It gives us the characteristics of this end time leader. He would be boisterous, arrogant, braggadocio. He would talk about himself all the time. He would say he was the best of everything. He would always be bragging. Daniel 11 tells us this. So does Daniel 7 and 8. Always bragging. And it's talking about an end time leader. Now, does Daniel say, well, this guy's bragging and then he's going to basically burn down the world? By the way, you can't say anything about him or warn anyone about him because he will have been sent by God. And since he's sent by God, don't say anything about him. Just pray for him, but don't say anything else. Does the Bible say that? In Daniel 7:20, it says the little horn had eyes and a mouth that spoke pompous words, which the meaning of pompous in the original means great. Great words. Pompous words, folks. Verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High and then persecute the saints of the Most High. And that word persecute means afflict and wear out. The saints will be given into his hand. So if my suspicion turns out to be correct and Trump is this guy, then he's going to turn on the saints. He's going to turn on the evangelicals. And when he does, are the evangelicals supposed to say to each other, don't say anything about him, just pray for him. But don't warn anyone else. Don't talk about him. Just pray for him because God put him in power. What is the attitude we're supposed to have about the Antichrist, folks? What do you think? Are we supposed to muzzle each other and say, shut up? He's my leader. Don't you know God put him in power? Well, no, Nathan, because when the Antichrist shows up, we'll know he's going to be bad. We'll know it's him and it's not Trump. It's going to be somebody else. And that other person will be so mean and bad that it'll be okay to say stuff about him. What's the difference? The Antichrist is still a human. He's still a guy in the end times. The little horn. So Daniel 7 goes on. It talks then about Jesus who's going to show up. It says the court will be seated and he shall take away the dominion of a little horn. Jesus will. And he will destroy it forever. And then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of kingdoms under all of heaven shall be given to the people and the saints of the Most High when Jesus returns. So this is politics right here. Politics is here in the Bible. Daniel chapter 8, verse 1, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. There's politics right there. That's a political person. It mentions different beasts. These are political figures. These are kingdoms that would come and go. Or in other words, regimes that would come and go. Those are politics. When we look at the book of Revelation, it talks about the beast that came out of the ocean, the end time beast, kingdom, who's going to make war with the saints and be a dictatorship over the whole world. That is a political regime that's going to take over the whole world. That's politics. Revelation talks about politics, and it says what the beast is going to do. And then it says a little horn will show up, having two horns of a lamb, which means religion, which means the political figure will have their cleric that looks like a lamb, horns of a lamb, looks Christian, in other words, to deceive the church, to deceive the saints, to deceive the elect, if possible. So the political figure of the end times that's mentioned in the book of Daniel, in the book of Revelation, will have a sidekick of clerics that will also deceive God's people. So we have politics and religion together. Make note, folks, the book of Revelation is about politics and religion. When Jesus was facing his accusers right before he was crucified, he faced the political leaders as well as the Pharisees, the religious leaders. Politics and religion. Again, Jesus is coming back as the King of Kings. That means he's the king over the political regimes of earth, politics and religion. So in the very end of time, when we have this battle going on where Satan will take over the political leadership of the world to deceive and try his last ditch effort to usurp the authority of God. When Satan pulls that little stunt, he's going to use politics, political leaders, political regimes. When Satan does that, when Satan gets involved in American politics, he goes for broke because Satan will then clone himself and his temperament and his attitude into whatever political figure he is influencing. And that being the case, Satan is a selfish person. He's boisterous. He's arrogant. He's a deceiver. He's a murderer. He's a thief. And we have seen this same behavior in dictators. They behave like the devil would. They accuse everybody else. When we look at Donald Trump right now, Donald Trump is operating in the same way. He is pompous, like the devil, pompous. He brags about himself. He constantly reminds us that he's the best out of every subject in the world.
Nobody knows the system better than me.
Nobody knows politicians better than I do.
Nobody knows.
Nobody's better.
Nobody's stronger.
There's nobody bigger or better at the military than I am.
I love the First Amendment. Nobody loves it better than me.
Nobody loves the Bible more than I do.
There is nobody that respects women more than I do.
Nobody builds walls better than me.
Nobody in the history of this country has ever known so much about infrastructure as Donald Trump.
Nobody knows debt better than me.
Nobody even understands it but me.
Nobody can do it like me.
Which is why
I alone can fix it.
I have Ivy League education, smart guy.
I know words, I have the best words.
I mean, like, I'm a smart person.
I truly believe that the first 100 days of my administration has been just about the most successful in our country's history.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's how Satan behaves. That is the attitude of the devil. It is not the attitude of a man sent by God as a servant to bring about revival to the church. If Trump is the Antichrist, I have to warn about it. And I have to also warn that there is an entire operation taking place before our eyes right now. It's a strategic operation of deception and propaganda that is taking place before our eyes. And I am so amazed that the evangelical support base of Trump does not see it. I'm so amazed. I'm so amazed that Trump's followers and loyalists will turn off their brain and clap at everything he says, no matter how absurd it is. I'm so amazed that Trump can say the dumbest things. And when I say dumb, I'm talking about ignorant. I'm talking about lack of education. I'm talking about, are you smarter than a fifth grader or are you dumber than a fifth grader? That's what I'm talking about. Trump can say things that are so obviously ignorant and his people will clap. What do you mean, Nathan? A few days ago, Trump said, we're building a wall. We're building a beautiful wall in Texas and New Mexico and in Colorado. And it's going to be a wonderful wall in Colorado and no one can go over it or under it. It's going to be a great wall in Colorado, our border wall in Colorado. And when he said that, by the way, for those of you who are publicly school educated and you might not understand what I mean by this, it doesn't touch the Mexican border. And when Trump said this, I mean, folks, come on. We always a slip up, Nathan. Who slips up with that? Would you slip up? I mean, really, if a high schooler said something like that, they would be the laughingstock of the town. If a middle schooler said it, they would say, you know what? You need to study your geography. If a grown-up said it, they would say, you know what? You need to study maps. But if the president of the United States, who is vested in this idea of a wall, if he says it, then we have to scratch our head and say, what in the world is wrong with him? Because if he is supporting this wall, I'm sure he has seen the maps of the wall. I'm sure that he has to have seen the border states that would receive the wall. You have California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. It's real simple. It's simple, folks. But Trump said Colorado. And when he said it, this is what's amazing. The shill supporters started clapping. The people that were on the stage started clapping, and then they stood up and gave him a standing ovation. When he said he's going to build a wall in Colorado, they gave him a standing ovation. Fully grown adults, men and women in their 40s and 50s and 60s, stood up and said, yeah, Mr. President, you're going to build a border wall in Colorado. Yeah, that's a good idea. I support this. Yeah, I'm going to clap and stand up to show my solidarity and support for that great plan of yours. Never mind that the geography is impossible. Never mind that for me to stand up in front of the TV cameras right now shows that I don't know my maps either. Never mind that we are showing that Trump's support base does not use their brains. We are giving a hint that Trump loyalists don't think that we're yes men. We are showing that you're our emperor. We're showing that you're our king. We're showing that we support you no matter what. And it's showing that there's no checks and balances in our head. We're not vigilant. Ladies and gentlemen, it revealed so much. Let me just play the clip right now. There might be some of you that are saying, Nathan, there's no way this didn't happen. Let me play it for you. Here we go.
New Mexico, which I think we're going to win. You know why we're going to win New Mexico? Because they want safety on their border. And they didn't have it. And we're building a wall on the border of New Mexico. And we're building a wall in Colorado. We're building a beautiful wall, a big one that really works, that you can't get over, you can't get under. And we're building a wall in Texas. And we're not building a wall in Kansas, but they get the benefit of the walls that we just mentioned.
All right. Trump said the comment, and then you heard the clapping. His supporters on the stage, they were happy that Colorado's going to get a wall. Folks, this is so embarrassing. And I asked myself so many times, how can it be that things that are so obvious fables, worthy of the Pinocchio Award, can slip right under the the radar of law-abiding, constitutional-liking or loving citizens, Christians also, how can this slip right under them? How? The only thing I can conclude is we have a great delusion taking place. This is a spiritual thing going on. And that's why I have submitted to you, and I've said it before in other programs, I fully believe that Donald Trump is under the operation of a legion, a host of principalities who are steering him as a puppet to raise him up as a dictator. And as they do this, as they steer him, there's also a slimy residue that protrudes from him that slimes the people around him who say yes. Those who say yay and amen to Donald Trump get slimed. Nathan, how dare you say that? I support Trump. Are you saying I've been slimed? I don't know if you've been slimed. Maybe you have. And if you have, may I suggest prayer and ask God to remove it? Because if Donald Trump's the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen, and if God is sending a strong delusion and the Antichrist is going to be used to deceive a lot of people, that means that he's going to be operating with this slimy residue-making ability to blind God's people. So it is up to every one of us to make sure we're sanitized from that. And if we did happen to get slimed by it, we have to get into God's spiritual bathtub and get rid of the slime, get rid of the ectoplasm from Middle Earth. Man, Nathan, you're sounding very blunt. Do I, my friend? How does it sound when Donald Trump is ripping apart everybody else in the world? Is that rude? Does that bother you when he does that? It goes against what we read in Proverbs 6, the seven things the Lord hates. Arrogance is the first one, a haughty spirit, those that deceive, and then those that sow strife. Trump does all of that. And if he's the Antichrist, of course he does. That's why he does it. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have to share this. I'm up on the wall and I'm watching this mess. I'm watching this chaos. I'm watching this hurricane, this tornado, this crazy insanity take place. And I have to say something. It's corrupting the church. It is corrupting lives. It is corrupting the spiritual vigilance of God's people. If you are regularly feeding yourself Fox News every day and you're listening to the commentary every day on Fox News that spins the truth of what Trump is doing, it's going to be confusing for you. We're in a very dangerous place because Trump is a habitual liar. And because he is, a lot of folks either ignore it or they wink at it or they don't think it's a lie. Trump wouldn't lie. I've had people write me and say that. Nathan, Trump doesn't lie. Where did he lie?
Speaking of classic Donald Trump, during the spray with the NATO Secretary General yesterday, the president claimed that his father was born in a very wonderful place in Germany while discussing the country's military spending. But Fred Trump was actually born in the Bronx.
He sure
was. And that wasn't the first time the president said that.
My father is German, right? Was German. And born in a very wonderful place in Germany. And so I have a great feeling for Germany.
My father's from Germany. Both of my parents are from the EU.
Don't forget, both my parents were born in EU sectors, okay? I mean, my mother was Scotland, my father was Germany.
This is Donald Trump, the storyteller. And this is something that doesn't really make any sense because it's not like it's hard to follow up on and it doesn't get him anywhere. His father is of German descent, but he was born in the Bronx.
My friend, every day, several times a day, he lies. Type into Google the lies of Trump and it'll bring up some crazy number.
We were confronted with the problem that Donald Trump says things constantly that are false and misleading.
So we decided to start a database on the Washington Post website cataloging all of President Trump's false or misleading claims.
And we're still paying for the consequence of that ambition.
It was supposed to just be for 100 days.
But after the first 100 days, readers kind of begged us to keep going. So we said we'd do it for another year. And then they begged us to keep going for the rest of his presidency. President Trump has crossed 10,000 false and misleading claims.
So many claims. Normally, reaching 10,000 of anything is good.
My goodness, $10,000.
Here, it's just big, like really big. Like the state of Maryland is almost 10,000 square miles big, like 100 times 100 big. So how did we get here?
We review every speech,
every tweet, statement,
White House event, cabinet meetings, campaign rallies.
Really everything he says.
We list all possible factual claims that he has made.
And then we evaluate them, and if they're false or misleading, we add them to our database.
Of course, every president says things that are false or misleading.
Most modern presidents have one big false or misleading claim that is inextricably linked to their time in office.
Well, now you're going to hear the facts from a White House source, and you know my name.
Some are more memorable than others.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
That the Iraqi regime continues to possess and conceal some of the most lethal weapons ever devised.
They'll see that if Americans like their doctor, they will keep their doctor. And if you like your insurance plan, you will keep it.
I've already started building the wall. We built large sections.
But President Trump doesn't just have one. He has nearly 300 claims that he's repeated three or more times since taking office. And some of those claims he's repeated literally hundreds of times. Here are the top three.
So we're building the wall.
It started.
And we started the wall.
It's doing well.
Including the building of the wall, which
we started, but we should build it at one time.
President Trump's wall is not being built.
The funding that Congress has approved is for repairs and fencing.
Power of the purse isn't agreeing to it. You can't do it. That's the way the federal government works.
You have to see these trade deals.
Yeah, we were losing a fortune.
Hundreds of billion dollars.
We lost $500 billion.
$300, $400, $500 billion a year.
Billion!
And for years,
we were losing a tremendous amount of money.
We're losing a lot of money.
That's false.
It's just a false construct.
Countries don't make or lose money on trade. It's not like a pickpocketing situation.
It's the biggest reduction in taxes in the history of this country.
It's the biggest tax cut in American history.
This is the largest tax cut
in the history of our country.
The biggest tax cut, biggest reform of all time.
That's false.
Trump doesn't even get past what Obama did.
Trump's tax cut is the eighth largest in the last 100 years.
But the claims don't happen in a vacuum. There are trends. Trump made nearly three times as many false or misleading claims in his second year than he did in his first. Almost a quarter of these claims were during campaign-style rallies, and nearly a fifth were about immigration. And what Trump talks about fluctuates based on what's happening in the news.
We're doing this in part for the historical record. It is such an unusual situation when you have a president who is constantly saying so many things that are false and misleading.
He's sui generis. He's of his own kind.
But that's what makes it history.
When it comes to smoke and mirrors, Donald Trump truly is the champion of political theater. Bold, bombastic, and yep, big. Because what Trump seems to have cornered to is the market on fibs, falsehoods, and outright fabrications. As in, pants on fire kind of lies.
We have a rating system, and the pants on fire rating means the statement is inaccurate and also ridiculous.
Angie Holin is the editor of PolitiFact, a nonpartisan fact-checking outlet tracking the truth according to Trump.
He just seems to have a disregard for the facts. About three-quarters of the statements we have rated have either earned mostly false, false, or pants on fire.
To be sure, Trump is hardly the first politician to manipulate the facts for political gain. But his blasé disregard for the truth is so prolific, fact-checking his statements has become a flourishing feature in mainstream media, too. All of which seems to matter not one bit to his core supporters.
I mean, I don't even know what lies you might even be talking about. It really doesn't even matter.
Donald Trump is a huge liar. By now, most people know that, but he doesn't lie randomly. New data showing Trump is lying far more as the midterms approach. Here's the Washington Post breakdown of all his lies and misleading claims. He told about 200 a month, and then it rose in year two, but you see it here exploding as the midterms approach, up to 800 in September. In October, over 1,000 lies or misleading claims. That is more than any other month, obviously, than of Trump's presidency. But his supporters stand by him even when, this is important, even when they acknowledge he's not very truthful. Take this brand new line from Valerie Wunder, a 34-year-old healthcare worker who spoke to a Times reporter after a recent Trump rally saying, quote, "I can't really say that anything he says is true, but I trust him."
I have to point out these things, and unfortunately it makes folks mad, makes people mad, because I point out Trump's lying political follies and spiritual infected follicles, they get angry. But ladies and gentlemen, right now, the American church is being told how to think. They're not thinking for themselves. A lot of evangelical Supporters of Trump are not thinking for themselves. They are thinking according to what he tells them to think. They're being told how to think, and they're being told to ignore the giant serpent that's slithering alongside the desk in the White House. And those with the eyes to see can see it. And everyone else is going to believe the fable and then read about the giant uh-oh in a few months or years. Because in the future, it will come forth that there was a giant operation of deception taking place. The future is going to reveal the truth. And in the future, we're all going to look back and ask, how did we get into this nightmare? Because if the Lord tarries, folks, history is going to tell us how. And if my chief concern turns out to be valid, the next few years are going to reveal how and why we get there. Because it's the last days, as I mentioned a moment ago, which most Christians would agree. In the last days, we're told that there will be a great deception, and it's going to come, that lawlessness would abound. If the elect could be deceived, they will be deceived. But what about the bench warmers in churches? What about them? What about the part-timers? What about the Christian part-timers who don't really try to use the Holy Spirit to help them be vigilant? Those that do not depend on God, on the whisper of the Holy Spirit to detect good from evil and right and wrong and light and darkness? What about them? Are they going to believe the lies? Yes, they will, indeed. So the part-time Christians will believe the lies. So will the pretenders and the religious thespians acting out their Christianity on the dark stage of this life. They're going to be deceived too. You know who else is going to be deceived, folks? The patriots. The patriots. Even the patriots and lovers of the Constitution will be deceived in the last days. How do you know this, Nathan? I know this because the Bible reveals it. It's right there. And history's going to repeat itself. It has happened before many times in history. Now think about this. The patriots of Israel, of Jerusalem, chose a freedom-fighting patriot over Jesus. Think about that, folks. They chose patriotism. They chose to put their trust in a man named Barabbas. Barabbas was a freedom fighter, and he was going to restore them to freedom, prosperity, liberty, and greatness from the bondage of Rome. That's why they said, give us Barabbas. And it was the patriots that chose an earthly man over Jesus. It was because of patriotism. It was because they thought this guy was going to turn politics around. So they chose politics over Jesus. And when we look at the siege of Jerusalem during the days of Jeremiah, when Nebuchadnezzar attacked, Jeremiah tells us that some of the remnant hid in the forests and in the wilderness away from Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah, they went and hid. And then after Nebuchadnezzar left, they came out of the wilderness. And they came to Jeremiah and they said, Jeremiah, what do we do? And Jeremiah told them what to do. And they said, nope, we're not going to listen to you. And one of the patriots, he was a chief patriot. His name was Johanan. Johanan led the majority of the remaining remnant to Egypt. He led them to flee to Egypt, and they chose to follow him over Jeremiah. And God said, those that are following Johanan and go to Egypt are going to perish. They're going to die. They're going to be hit by different plagues. I'm going to make sure they die there because they didn't listen to Jeremiah. And some of you may ask, well, how is that related to now? Here's how, folks. Because it's obvious that the American church raised a king and pretended he was president, but they're looking the other way as he continually operates in demonic chaos, as he insults, berates, targets, threatens, and intimidates his critics and also the messengers of the news. He attacks the messengers. First, it was the Democrats that he attacked, his political opponents, but now it's anyone who can stomach being under his employment. He attacks them. He attacks the generals who worked for him. He attacks the ambassadors, cabinet members. He attacks fellow congressmen and senators. He attacks them. Nathan, he's sent by God, don't you know? We need to have a benevolent dictator because he's the only way that we're going to get. Speaking of which, Ralph Drollinger, who is the pastor or the head of Capital Ministries, which is a fellowship in Washington, D.C., he has a Bible study in Washington, D.C. for congressmen and senators. And he was interviewed a few years ago when Trump was first coming on the scene. And Drollinger said that it was good that Trump is a troublemaker and he operates dirty. And America right now needs a benevolent dictator because he's going to get the job done. Drollinger said that.
And so it is with the leading candidate for president. But from my perspective where I sit, because I just see this champion who's got all this Ox energy to really make things happen. And America is in such desperate straits, especially economically, that if we don't have almost a benevolent dictator to turn things around, I just don't think it's going to happen through our governance process right now. So where no oxen are, the manger is clean. So you can get clean guys there, but they're not going to get a whole lot done.
Well, Mr. Drollinger, here we are 2 years later, and the benevolent dictator is acting like a dictator now. He's not very benevolent. So when people say, let's sit back and see what he's going to do, let's see what God's going to do with Trump, I see what's going on with this. I see a dictator rising up. And it's not according to what Mr. False Prophet Mark Taylor told everybody. Instead, it's what I mentioned a moment ago, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. God has sent a strong delusion. And right now, that deception's underway. The deception's underway, and Trump is trampling on the Constitution, and he has let all of us know on numerous occasions. He says it over and over and over that he's not leaving office. And he says he's just kidding. He says he's just joking. But he says it a lot, folks. He says it privately. He says it out in the open. He says it in front of cameras. In fact, let me just go ahead and play this.
I announced today that we got the Soccer World Cup. That's a big thing. Who else is going to do it? But we've got a problem. It's in 2026. And 2026. And I said, well, wait a minute. Under the normal rules, I'll be out in 2024. So we may have to go for an extra term. Okay? We told you he's a dictator. We told you. No. I'm only kidding.
Ryan Nobles is at the club. Tell us about what the president said.
Yeah, Anna, the president not expected to speak here at the Gridiron Club dinner for about another hour and 45 minutes, but it's comments that he made at this fundraiser at his resort in Florida that is already starting to get quite a bit of attention. The president spoke on a number of different topics. This was a speech that was not given on the teleprompter, so it was the president to a certain extent riffing on some of his favorite topics. And he got on the topic of Chinese President Xi Jinping and the news that President Xi had successfully earned the right to run for re-election again and basically suspended the term limits that were in place for the Chinese leader. And the president spoke kindly of that and suggested that it was a good idea that President Xi made that move. Take a listen to this audio from that fundraiser.
Don't forget, China's great, and Xi is a great gentleman. He's now president for life. President for life. No, he's great. He's great. Hey, look, he was able to do that. I think it's great. Maybe we'll have to give that a shot someday.
He praised the Chinese president for being a president for life. He praised him. And then he says, maybe I should try that. Ladies and gentlemen, the mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart. He's projecting what his goal is. And if he gets reelected in 2020, I'm very concerned that he's going to continue in the dismantling of the laws that restrict his ability to be president long term. Already, there are different scenarios where if he's reelected, or even before that, he can cancel the elections by a national emergency, by martial law, by a major catastrophic event, by a terrorist event, by civil war, because of civil war. If Trump has a civil war, then he can declare a national emergency and cancel the elections. He can take over all three branches of government if civil war starts. So I'm noticing that we're hearing rhetoric about civil war coming, and Trump even tweeted that. He retweeted what Jeffries said, that if they impeach him, there's going to be a civil war. And already there are citizens who are mimicking that. A major league umpire just recently tweeted that if they impeach Trump, he's going to get an AR-15 and it's going to be civil war. So Trump is planting these ideas. And since Trump operates under demonic influence, when he says those things, he's hypnotizing some people out there to follow suit. And all he needs is just a handful of individuals to take an AR-15 and shoot a few congressmen, senators, Democrats, to shoot a few of them. And then Trump can have his national emergency. He can say that civil war has started. And I am very concerned that that's where we're headed. I really am, folks. Now, the spin that is taking place right now by the far right, I'm hearing about it. Some people are emailing me and they're sending me articles by supposed watchmen out there who are telling God's people that the reason for the impeachment investigation is because a coup is taking place. Trump is using that rhetoric. It's a coup. And you know what, folks? If some of you have heard that rhetoric, it's not true. The impeachment process that's taking place right now, it's a constitutional process. It's not a coup. A coup would be if military generals went into the White House and shot up the Secret Service and did something to Trump and made him leave the White House and then placed one of their own generals in there as a replacement. That's a coup. A coup is when you replace a sitting leader with somebody else and bloodshed takes place also, or maybe not. But it's when a political leader is deposed of violently and suddenly using the military. That's not what's going on right now. A constitutional process is taking place. They're bringing in witnesses. And by the way, this investigation that's taking place behind closed doors right now is just an inquiry. It is not the trial. It's an inquiry. They're sending subpoenas to different witnesses to ask them what happened. And the committee that is sending subpoenas to the witnesses that are coming forth and sharing their account about the Ukrainian quid pro quo that took place with President Zelensky, the inquiry that's taking place is comprised of committee members who are both Democrat and Republican. There's an equal amount of Democrats and an equal amount of Republicans in this committee. It is not all Democrats. The Republican committee members are able to ask questions of the witnesses. The amount of time that is being allotted to both sides of Democrat and Republican committee members is equal. So what the people are being told in Fox News that it's a closed door thing and the Democrats are hiding everything, that's not what's going on. It's an inquiry to find out privately from the witnesses, the accounts of what happened. And then after that takes place and they have gathered enough information, then Congress will have the choice of whether to start impeachment proceedings with trials. That's going to happen in public. In public, folks. This will be in a few weeks. It's going to all come out. They're not going to hide it. Right now, it's just a private thing. Just like when a grand jury investigates a case, they do it privately. They don't do it out in the open. And then when they get all their information, then they decide if they're going to indict or not or take it to trial. They decide. That's a similar thing that's taking place right now. So this is not an abuse or a coup that's taking place. The Republicans are also in that committee, ladies and gentlemen. And because they have been doing this, witnesses have come forth. William Taylor, who was part of the envoy, he was an ambassador to the Ukraine, has testified for 10 hours a couple of days ago, and he said, yes, it took place. He said that he noticed there were two different channels of communication happening with the Ukrainian leadership. One of them was the State Department, which is the official channel that should be used to speak to other world leaders. But then there was an unofficial channel that took place. And the unofficial channel was being utilized by Rudy Giuliani, who is not an elected official, who is not on the cabinet, who is not part of the State Department. He is not an official member of the U.S. government. But Trump utilized Rudy Giuliani to make concessions with the leader of Ukraine and to tell the leader of Ukraine. This has all come out. William Taylor revealed all this. They strong-armed the president of Ukraine 2 months before he came into office, and they told him that there were going to be certain arrangements, and if he wanted to get the military funding, he had to do certain things for the administration, for the White House. He was told this. This has all been revealed, folks. William Taylor revealed it. He has been a public servant, an ambassador. He's worked for the State Department for 50 years. He has the seasoning of good faith. He has shown himself to be a loyal, dependable public servant. And he showed up with emails and text messages and memos that proves that Trump did commit quid pro quo. That's a Latin word, this for that, which means he twisted the arm of the Ukrainian officials for his own political gain, and he used taxpayer-funded military aid. He held it up. He used it as bribery with the president of Ukraine. He bribed him, ladies and gentlemen. It's on record. It happened. And when we look at the reasons for impeaching a president, it says high crimes, treason, bribery. Trump did it. Rudy Giuliani took part in it. So did Rick Perry. So did Mike Pence. This has all come out. In addition to William Taylor, another public servant, Pentagon official, Laura Cooper, also testified that it's the truth. There are other witnesses that are coming forth. The Trump administration is telling all of them that they're not allowed to testify. But Laura Cooper did it anyway. William Taylor did it anyway.
Good morning, I'm Kenneth Moten.
And I'm Kaylee Hartung. Here are the top five things to know this Wednesday. Number one, the impeachment showdown in Washington.
U.S. diplomat Bill Taylor has delivered the most damning testimony against President Trump since the start of the impeachment inquiry. He said the president was directly involved in using military aid as leverage to pressure Ukraine to investigate his political rivals. The White House is dismissing the testimony as hearsay. Well, let's get right to that big story, the impeachment showdown and the explosive new testimony from the top diplomat in Ukraine.
Bill Taylor testified that President Trump made military funds for Ukraine contingent on Ukraine's public pledge to investigate Joe Biden as well as the 2016 election. That contradicts President Trump's denial of a quid pro quo. One congressman who heard Taylor's testimony called it disturbing.
ABC's Inez de la Cotara is there in Washington with the reaction and the fallout. Inez, good morning.
Good morning, Kenneth and Kaylee. Bill Taylor testifying under subpoena that the order to withhold military aid from Ukraine came directly from the president and that in exchange, the Ukrainian leader would have to agree publicly to investigate Trump's political opponents.
In my 10 short months in Congress, it's not even noon, right? And this is my most disturbing day in Congress so far.
Democrats in the room say there were audible gasps as Taylor detailed the White House pressure campaign on Ukraine. Taylor says he was given no official reason for why millions of dollars in foreign aid was held up, but that U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, told him Trump wanted the Ukrainian president to announce a public investigation into his Democratic rivals, writing in his opening statement, Ambassador Sondland said everything was dependent on such an announcement, including security assistance. He said that President Trump wanted President Zelensky in a public box by making a public statement about ordering such investigations, adding that the president told Sondland the Ukrainian president had to clear things up and do it in public, and if he didn't, Trump said they would be at a stalemate. The White House now calling Taylor's testimony a triple hearsay, with some of the president's biggest supporters still standing by him and blasting the impeachment probe.
This is fundamentally un-American, and until it changes, I will fight back as hard as I can.
And later today, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense Laura Cooper is expected to testify. Kaylee and Kenneth.
Meanwhile, Trump is saying the impeachment inquiry is an attack against the vote of his supporters. Instead of this being an examination of bad behavior, Trump is spinning it around and he's involving the voters, his support base, and saying they're against you. They're trying to attack you because you voted for me and now they're trying to unseat your vote. This is an attack on the people. He has also said that the media is the enemy of the people.
These are just dishonest, terrible people. I'm telling you that. Terrible people.
It almost isn't news that President Trump launched yet another attack tonight in his relentless battle against the media, except for what else happened today. A California man was arrested for making violent threats against the Boston Globe. In one of 12 calls to the paper, Robert Chain allegedly said, "You're the enemy of the people. We're going to kill every effing one of you." Who else has been calling the media the enemy? President Trump.
I called the fake news the enemy of the people, and they are.
It's totally common for presidents to criticize the press. All of them have done so. To label the press a domestic enemy is a sharp departure from any historical precedent.
The threatening calls began after The Globe and more than 300 papers across the U.S. published editorials criticizing Trump's attacks on the media.
The citizenry has to be informed about what's going on so that they can govern themselves. It's a pillar of democracy and self-governance. And the idea that the president, my president, their president, would declare the press to be an enemy of the people, we found deeply alarming.
The president's attacks are nothing new.
Because they are the fake, disgusting news.
But the fear now is that they could fuel violence. In another call, Chain allegedly said, "As long as you keep attacking the president, I will continue to threat, harass, and annoy the Boston Globe."
So there's the concern, is President Trump, by the use of his language and attacks, giving sort of an open door to some people to say, you know what, I'm going to go do this.
It's the Washington Post, the New York Times.
That doesn't seem to worry President Trump. Ellen Morrow, CBC News, Washington.
And just days ago, New York Times reporter Kenneth Vogel shared a threat he received on voicemail. Imagine getting this message.
You're the problem. You are the enemy of the people. And although the pen might be mightier than the sword, the pen is not mightier than the AK-47. And just remember, Ken, there's nothing civil about a civil war.
This is the same rhetoric that dictators use. It's the same rhetoric that Pol Pot used, or Baby Doc Duvalier, or Castro, or Chairman Mao, or Lenin, or Stalin, or El Duce, Mussolini. That's the verbiage that dictators use. So Trump's using the same rhetoric, and Fox News is repeating it. Trump tweets it, and many of you are being fed these lies.
The president of the United States is accusing sections of his own government of attempting a coup. On Tuesday, Donald Trump tweeted, "I am coming to the conclusion that what is taking place is not an impeachment, it is a coup intended to take away the power of the people, their vote, their freedoms."
Folks, make note of the rhetoric that Trump's using. You're being told that they're trying to dismiss the vote of the people. They're trying to unseat the heir of the election. Unfortunately, folks, most people are just going along with it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a hold of Allison right now, and I want to get her take on this from over there in Berlin, what the mood is on Donald Trump, and how she feels about these things that are taking place from way over there in Europe. Allison, are you there? So what do you think about what's taking place? What do you think about this carnival, this fiasco that's going on in the White House?
Well, I was just listening to it in the background because I can't take it, but it's just going on as impeachment, that it's Soviet style. It's like a tribunal that's going on. Unbelievable.
And you said that it reminds you of Hitler?
Okay, what Fox News is doing, they are taking the Democrats or the people that are actually inquiring in this hearing, and they're dehumanizing them. That's what they do. They put them down, they make them look like idiots, or they portray them as less than human. They're saying that they're the scum of the earth, they're the scumbags, they're the worst of humankind. I mean, this is exactly what Hitler did in his propaganda. He would take any kind of enemy and portray them as the worst people, the subhuman. That's just typical propaganda. If you looked at the Soviet-style propaganda, that's the same thing. They would always tie in the people and say that these people are against you, they are against your values, they are against what you stand for, these people hate you, so that you, as a listener, feel attacked as well. If they are against your Führer or your leader, then of course they are personally attacking you as well. They use that in the propaganda to get you riled up and hate them as well. So, I mean, that's just manipulation. And the Americans, they don't see that. They're not used to that kind of propaganda has always been going on in a certain way. But this is complete and utter manipulation that is going on. And the American people don't see through it. They can't see it. The smart ones can see through it. But a lot of the, sadly, evangelicals that are just blindly following what is spoken don't, without question, because they grew up believing that the United States are always the good guys, and they don't question authority. They don't question their leaders. Trump is using Fox News as his propaganda machine, his mouthpiece.
Okay, so Allison, based on what you just said, what direction are we headed if this continues the way it's going?
Well, being a Christian nation, and with most people considering themselves to be Christian, it's a dangerous path that they're going down, because the Bible says that those that have more knowledge, they also have more responsibility, and God's going to ask much more of them. So God is expecting his people to be level-headed and to use their knowledge and to know what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And if the evangelicals fail to see that and fail to realize that they have a great responsibility being ambassadors of Christ, God's not going to take that lightly. I don't see the United States going the way it has been for much longer.
That's real quick. I just have one more question and then I'll let you go. During the 30s, when Hitler became chancellor in 32, 33, was he supported by the Christians, by the church, or did they dislike him?
He was supported especially by the Lutheran Protestant Church. The ones that actually went more against it were the Catholic people, the Catholics. But the Protestants, they all bought into the lie. and they supported Hitler. That is the sad part. Also, the Lutheran Church back then. Of course, there were people like Bonhoeffer and all these people that did not buy into it, but they also paid a very, very high price. But overall, the Lutheran Protestant churches in Germany supported Hitler.
Did they think he was a Christian?
They did, because he did use Christian words in the beginning, also that he was chosen by God to do these things, even though Hitler was anything but Christian. In the end, he was actually planning on getting rid of Christianity altogether. It was just tolerated during the Third Reich, but he did use Christian words, and, well, he manipulated them, and he would always bring in that Germany is chosen by God to do great things, and the Christians bought into that.
Wow.
He even had ministers who were goose-stepping with him, basically, and they would use propaganda in their sermons. So Christianity was used to manipulate people, and the people bought into it.
He had clerics that supported him back then?
Oh, yes. He had clerics that supported him and that were used in the churches and to further the propaganda. Yeah. Of course, there also were ones that had the Holy Spirit and they could see through the lies. And you also had the ones that went against him, but a great many ministers supported him.
Kind of like what we're seeing now, right? Jerry Falwell Jr., Jeffries, the big time preachers, Paula White. He has all these NAR people. Trump does, has these NAR preachers.
Exactly.
And so Christians see that and they think it's an endorsement by God. But we've already been down this road, haven't we, in history?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Well, Allison, well, we're going to do a show. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be doing a program on this. And what we're talking about right now is an introductory to what we see happening. Okay, Allison, well, thank you for chiming in. This was just a short little call just to get your take. Thank you for sharing with the audience what you're observing from over there in Berlin.
Okay.
All right, take care. God bless.
Thanks for having me.
God bless.
All right, God bless you. Bye.
The miracle of the internet lets me chime in on you. The listeners are going to be praying for you.
I know I'm saying a lot right now. I know I'm sharing a lot, but you're not going to hear this on Fox News. You're not. Or if you go to some of the periodicals or journalistic publications that are loyal to Trump, you won't get it either. Like Breitbart won't necessarily say it. They support Trump. But I want to address a few things right now, folks. I want to share some reminders of the prophetic dreams that God gave me years ago. I've been revisiting some of the prophetic dreams that God gave me that I didn't really have a lot of clarity in. But as I am watching the behavior of Donald Trump, some of the elements of past prophetic dreams are now coming into focus and they're making more sense. For example, several years ago, 2012, I believe it was, I had a prophetic dream about an American bald eagle that landed in my chicken coop. It was real skinny. It crawled on its stomach. It was about to die. And it drug itself toward the nest eggs of the chicken coop and it started eating the eggs. But the bald eagle wasn't a normal bald eagle because its wings had the little talons that you see on bats halfway up the wing on the top. You know, that little nail talon. And the eagle had that. And it was able to break the eggs open using that and then it would eat the eggs. So the eagle partially had the wings of a bat. I never understood that. But then a few years later, I had the dream about the principality flying. I was outdoors in Idaho, and I saw what looked like a pterodactyl gliding in the air. It was a mile away, and it was moving very slow, gliding, and it got closer and closer until it went right over my house, and I looked up. It was just a few hundred feet over me, but it wasn't a pterodactyl because it had wings like a bat, and the body of this creature was a bat body, but the face was Donald Trump's face, and it was orange. And it glided right over my house and it just kept on going into the horizon and it disappeared. And I've shared this many times, but this creature was a principality that's going to involve Donald Trump. And that's why I have stated that I do believe Donald Trump is possessed by a principality because that thing was sent out. And look what's going on now, folks. We see a huge deception taking place. This is before the election. And that's why I did not believe that Trump was safe because God revealed this. Now, going back to the other dream. When that eagle was crawling on the ground, it had bat wings, the same wings as the principality that I saw, which now, when I look back, reveals the spirit of America is going to be influenced by a spirit of deception, by principalities. So the American bald eagle that represents freedom
and all those things that we consider good and wholesome was going to start morphing into a new creature that was influenced by principalities. And that's why it had bat wings. So this eagle was on the ground in my dream eating the eggs, and it ate enough eggs to finally get its strength, and it started bulking up, gained its strength. It stood up on its legs after it ate enough eggs, and it turned orange. I published it. It's on record. This was years ago. And if you want to read this, just go to Google and type in "The Eagle and the Fox, Watchman's Cry," and it'll bring it up. And you'll see the date, the timestamp, to show that I'm not just trying to make this up, folks. So the eagle turned orange in my dream. This is 2012. It turned orange, so I made note that it was a golden eagle. And for the longest time after that dream, I looked and looked and looked at why did the bald eagle turn golden and orange? Why? And of course, Donald Trump wasn't even on the radar at the time. So I couldn't understand it back then. And I thought maybe Obama was going to do something and turn maybe like a golden eagle. And I wondered, was it related to Hitler? Did Hitler use the golden eagle, or what was it? I didn't know. I couldn't make sense of it. But now it all makes sense, folks. The American bald eagle that represents the spirit of America has been morphed and cloned into Donald Trump, the orange man. The America that we knew as land of the free and home of the brave has now been morphed into a creature that is the will of Trump. The American eagle has now been taken over by the will of Trump, ladies and gentlemen. That's why it turned orange in my dream. And then something else happened in my dream as well. The eagle had morphed into a red fox. It turned around toward me and it grinned and started giggling and laughing like, "I gotcha. I tricked you. I deceived you." The head of a fox was placed on the eagle's body. And I also wondered about that. Does that mean that great deception will be used? And of course, yeah. But why a fox? And now when I look at what's going on, it makes sense. It's because Fox News is the mouthpiece of Donald Trump. And Fox News has been used as the propaganda for Donald Trump. But it's been used deceptively. So God revealed this years ago, ladies and gentlemen. Fox News is what guides most evangelical Christians. Fox News is what most of Trump's support base listens to. And they are being deceived. But I dreamt this years ago. And by the way, the nest eggs that the eagle ate, even back then, showed that at some point, the government of America is going to tap into the nest eggs of all of us, eating into your retirement funds or your bank accounts. How's that going to happen? Well, isn't it interesting that now they're talking about negative interest rates? Now, I want to share another prophetic dream that is becoming more clear as well. It's amazing that several of the prophetic dreams that I've had continually point to an end result where America is under bondage, under the rule of Donald Trump. Now, folks, I don't know why I had the prophetic dream about Trump land a few years ago, but I did. And in the end of the summer in 2016, I had another glimpse, and I want to share it right now because I think this one's in motion at the moment. It's not complete. It's occurring in slow motion. But if this particular prophetic dream comes true, then it's going to be a sad day for our future. It's going to be difficult, and you need to know about it now so that you're not led astray as it continues to form and develop. If you haven't read this prophetic dream, I have it on my website. You can go there, and in the search bar, you can just type in Trumpland, and it'll bring it up. It's called The Trumpland Prophecy and the Divided House. And in this prophetic glimpse, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I do want to make mention of it because it does not look good. When this dream began, I was standing on a sidewalk that was along the edge of a one-way street in a city. I don't know what city it was, but I was facing the street, and there was four lanes of traffic in front of me. I was on the curb looking toward the traffic. There were cars on the street, but they weren't moving. So it was like they were all lined up bumper to bumper, side by side, in four lanes. There was a lot of cars in each lane, but they were all stopped at the same part of the street, like they were stopped at a crosswalk or something. Their engines were running. They were not moving. And it wasn't an intersection. As I was looking at this scene, I heard a sound of a semi-truck to my left. So I looked to my left, which would have been behind the line of cars. And a semi-truck was approaching. And the semi was maybe half a mile away. Its horn was blaring. It was going fairly fast. And it was approaching this line of stationary cars. It's horn was blaring, and I noticed that it was carrying a trailer with the house that had been cut in half was on the trailer. So as it approached the cars, I started bracing myself for a loud impact, for a crash, and for violent injuries. But before the truck reached the line of cars, it swerved to the left, went over the curb, it bounced along the grass and the driveways that were to the left, and it continued. It wasn't able to stop. After going past several houses, it lost control, and the semi's tractor began jackknifing, but it kept moving toward one of the houses, and eventually it plowed into one of the houses while it was carrying a divided house. So when the semi hit the house, all of the vehicles that were in front of me were startled, and they took off all at the same time. So all four lanes of traffic started moving like at the beginning of a race or something. So they all took off, and the line of cars was then moving to my right toward the end of the road. As these cars began moving, it created another problem because the road in front of them ended with a T intersection, and that intersection was a few hundred feet in front of them. So two of the lanes on the left tried to make a left turn at the T intersection, and the two lanes on the right, because there was four lanes, tried to turn to the right. Unfortunately, they were going too fast. They were going about 30 to 35 miles an hour. So the cars that were trying to turn left weren't able to make the complete 90 degree turn. And they ended up plowing into the building that was on the other side of the street at the T intersection. So one by one, they continued plowing into buildings. So those cars could not escape the T intersection toward the left. Meanwhile, the ones that tried to turn right had the same problem. They were going too fast, so they were not able to turn right on the T intersection, and they would skid across the intersection and plow into the buildings that were across the street. Same problem. I did notice, however, that about two cars, though, were able to make the right turn. They were small cars, very small cars that they were able to make. As this was all going on, instantly a framework formed over me like a bridge, and it had pillars along the sides of the street that was holding it up. And it was like it looked like a secondary deck or bridge above me that was built over the street where I was. And as I looked up, it started teetering to the left and to the right. It wasn't finished. The framework resembled the iron of the Eiffel Tower. And then it started wobbling back and forth. This entire bridge was moving to the left and to the right. And so I became alarmed because I thought it was going to collapse on me. So I decided to run under it toward the end of the street in the same direction that all the cars went, toward the T intersection. When I made it to the intersection, the infrastructure behind me came crashing down. And when I was at the T intersection, a news reporter appeared in front of me, and I walked over to the news reporter and I said, "Did people die?" And the news reporter said, "Yes, there's dead people under the debris." But the news reporter also included something else. And I haven't really talked about this very much because I don't understand it, but I'll just let you know what the news reporter said. By the way, the news reporter was from Fox News. I do remember that. And the news reporter said, "Yes, two women died. There are fatalities under the infrastructure," but then they added like an additional point, and they said, "Two women died." Right after the reporter said two women died, the dream shifted and changed, and everything went black, and I found myself in blackness, in a black location where there was no light. It was total blackness. It was a dark setting. I don't know if I was inside or outside of a building, but it was dark. It was nighttime, and I could see nothing. I couldn't even see my hand in front of me. But in this dark setting, I did notice something. I could hear children laughing, and those children were my children. They were enjoying each other. They were telling jokes, and they were the voice of my kids laughing. I could hear my two sons and my daughter speaking in the darkness, talking to each other, but they were all having fun in the middle of the darkness. So I remember thinking, wow, even though it's dark, they're not afraid. This is good. And then in front of me, a door appeared, an oak door. It was like a door that you would see in a castle, and it had the pointy arch in the middle, but it was made out of oak. It appeared in front of me. It was a few feet in front of me, and I started walking toward the door to open it, and I grabbed the latch to try to open it, and instantly the door started opening by itself. It opened toward me about 12 inches, and when it did, light from the other side of that door entered the darkness, and I could see the outline of the door and the light coming in, kind of how you would see in a movie, you know, a glowing door that opens and you see the light rays poking through. That's what I saw. And when the door had opened about 12 inches, I was immediately sucked through the door like a vacuum cleaner sucked, doing the suction. And then instantly I was in a third glimpse. And in this one, I was floating above the street, looking down, and all of the buildings were white, made out of concrete and stone. And the buildings were very boring looking. They were square looking, and they looked to be the simple architecture that we observed in the 1930s, where everything was black and white. And the other thing that was interesting was that I could not hear any sounds. I couldn't hear cars. There were cars moving below me, but I couldn't hear them. I couldn't hear the horns of cars. I couldn't hear the wind. I couldn't hear people talking. It was like I was deaf. There was absolutely no sound below me. But the thing that was really weird and eerie was that every building had the name Trump along the top of it. And the letters were very tall. They were 6 to 8 feet tall. Each letter was along the tops of the buildings. The buildings were in black and white. The whole scene was in black and white, so that the Trump letters were just white. And then the dream was over. So after I had that, I pondered it. I didn't understand it. I wondered about it. And there's a lot of things going on in this dream. There's a lot going on. I have done programs in the past that talk about this and dissect it. And again, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com, and type in, or in the search bar, the Trump land prophecy, and it'll bring it up. Because I break it down and try to decipher what it means, which at the time, I didn't know what it meant because Donald Trump had not been elected yet. And I didn't know if he was going to win or not. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know why. If this was a glimpse of the future, why would Trump's name be on every building? Why? And I wondered if he didn't win, if he lost the election, the 2016 election, would that mean that he's going to buy a lot more real estate? Or is it going to give him an advantage over other things in his business empire to buy more buildings? Is that what it means? Or did it mean that he was going to win and he was going to become, and here's the disturbing part, folks, he was going to become a dictator, a tyrant. And at the time, I pondered it. Now, here we are 3 years later, and I really believe, folks, that this is a very sobering dream, because I believe there's a good chance that this dream is saying that Trump is going to become an iconic figure in America. If things continue, if the impeachment fails, then it appears that the prophetic dream indicates that the future of Trump is going to include him becoming an iconic authoritarian, totalitarian demagogue. In other words, a dictator over America. And because I couldn't hear anything, it's going to include us witnessing the decapitation of liberty, of the Constitution. It's going to include that he's going to become very powerful, and he will have a lot of influence and power over everybody and everything. He will be the new figurehead of America, Trump. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly what it means, but I'm concerned that it does mean that. Because I have also said this over the years, when we have a prophetic glimpse or dream, we do not necessarily have the interpretation of it. The person that has the dream usually does not know what it means, and they need help with someone else. They need help with other seasoned Christians or others who can interpret dreams, because that's the way God does it, so that the body of Christ comes together. And we can also read that in the Bible. So I'm still working on this, folks. I don't know. But now, if we were to dissect certain parts of it, at the very beginning, in the first dream, I was looking at the traffic, the cars were running, and then they got startled because the divided house crashed. It jackknifed to the right, but it crashed. The split house. Right now, we see that happening. The house is split. We have the Congress split with the Senate. The Democratic Congress does not get along with the Senate. And with this impeachment inquiry, it's getting ugly. It's becoming a call to arms almost. The Republicans are very angry. They're doing some radical things. So this does illustrate very well that it's headed toward everybody. It's going to crash, but then it's going to veer to the left, and it's still going to crash though. When that crash happens, it's going to startle all the citizens that will flee. And the only direction they have to go is toward the T intersection. A few people messaged me and they said, Nathan, I remember your dream and you talked about the T intersection. Could it represent Trump? Because it's a T. And you know what, folks? I never even saw that. I didn't realize it. So that would mean that it's going to come to a crash of some sort. And I don't know if it's a political crash or an economic crash or a crash because of an event. I do not know. But the divided house is going to crash. American politics are going to crash into something very startling. And it's going to scare a lot of people. The only way they have to escape is to go toward Trump, and they have to go either to the left or the right. But going to the left didn't work because they still ended up crashing. And going to the right didn't work, same thing. However, a few did escape. Two cars were able to make it toward the right, which I guess could illustrate the remnant. But for the most part, those who try to turn, it's going to be very impactful and affect a lot of people. It's going to affect everybody. So after that occurred, then the infrastructure formed over me, and I still have not been able to understand that. I don't know what that means. Only the ironwork was there, the steelwork, but not the concrete. Does that mean that some kind of infrastructure bill is going to get passed by Trump, but it's not going to work because the financial system will crash? I don't know. I don't know. Also, make note of this, folks. The ironwork in the structure resembled the Eiffel Tower. So somehow, I think France would be involved. I don't know to what measure or what, whether it's financial or political. I don't know. But France will be involved because it was real obvious that it was the ironwork of the Eiffel Tower, but it came crashing down. As I ran to the inn to get away from under it before it collapsed, I was able to exit and make it to the T intersection where a news reporter was there. And that news reporter, I do believe they were from Fox News. I do. They said there's dead people under the debris and two women died. I remember them saying that. Two women died. What does that mean? I don't know. Does that mean the Statue of Liberty? I don't know what it means. Or is it literal? Are there two female politicians that are going to die when all this goes down? And if so, who are they? Again, folks, I don't know. I don't. If we were to evaluate everything I just mentioned, what do we have so far? We have a divided house that's going to crash. Today, in American politics, that's what we're facing. The divided house is headed for a reckoning. That's why I say it's not going to turn out well. It's going to create chaos. And people will try to escape through Trump, but it's not going to succeed. It won't. So that's coming, ladies and gentlemen. That's coming. And after that, then we're going to be thrust into darkness. More darkness will come. However, my children were laughing in the dream, which I think is a symbolic representation of God's people, the children of God, the children of Jesus, God's children, will be able to still find joy and laughter in darkness. That's you, my friend. That means every one of you. Those of you who belong to Jesus, those of you who are a part of the remnant, those of you who have Jesus in your heart and who serve him, will be able to find joy and laughter in the midst of this season that is ahead of us. And you know, folks, that's a hope. That's a good thing. That is a measure of God's promise. It's one of the benefits of serving God, that even while we're in darkness, we can find joy. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water from the well of God. Therefore, with joy shall I draw water from the well. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the wellspring of God. With joy, my friend. But the only way that happens is to submit ourselves to Jesus, to return to him, to serve him, to place ourselves under his protection, to trust him, to commit to him. Folks, these are elementary challenges that we need to include in our end-time strategy. We must include that, ladies and gentlemen. So darkness will come. Darkness is going to appear in front of us, but we can still find strength in God. While I was in that season, then the door opened up, another door. It was an oak door. It was a door that was an ancient oak door, and it was pointed kind of like you see an arch that is pointed in the middle, like an old cathedral window, stained glass window. It was shaped like that. It was a very thick oak door. Why oak? Why was it old? That part is still to be determined, so I'm sharing that with you. And then when I was sucked through it, I ended up in Trump land. Trump's name was everywhere. Now looking back at it, folks, I do not think that it means that he's going to become a real estate genius and just buy up a lot of buildings. I don't think that's what it means. Because when I analyzed the entire environment of this scene, it felt like the 1930s. It felt like something in Germany. It felt like there was a totalitarian stronghold over everybody. There was silence. Freedom of speech was gone. Freedom of speech, folks. People still went to and fro. Life continued. But Donald Trump had his name above everybody. It was elevated. It was high and lifted up above everybody. That says a lot. Trump will be an authoritarian and he will be elevated, whether he does it himself or the people put him up there. I don't know, but that's where he was. His name was above everybody. And that's the sort of atmosphere that we see in totalitarian banana republics where the dictator has his poster everywhere to constantly remind the people that he's their king. He's the one to be revered. And you know, folks, it's so sad. Part of my soul sees it as sad, and the other part of my soul sees it as sickening that that's the sort of adoration that is being given to Trump already. The evangelicals have lifted him up. Just a few days ago, Lou Dobbs from Fox News, you folks remember Lou Dobbs? He made a statement that was just absurd on his program. He said, have a good weekend because Donald Trump is the one who makes it possible to enjoy our weekend. Thanks to Donald Trump, you will have a good weekend. He said that. In fact, let me play that for you. Listen to this.
A head-scratching moment for some watching the Fox Business Network when known Trump supporter and host Lou Dobbs ended his show saying this.
Have a great weekend. The president makes such a thing possible for us all.
Dobbs didn't elaborate on how President Trump was making weekends great. Online, the clip going viral, some comparing the moment to a dystopian novel. Earlier in the broadcast, Dobbs had recounted his visit to the White House saying, there's great sunshine beaming throughout the place and its winner and winning center. A day earlier, the host ended his Lou Dobbs Tonight broadcast praising Trump in the White House, adding, the joint is hopping.
There you go, folks. Lou Dobbs, Fox News, as I stated a moment ago, Fox News is the mouthpiece for this present fiasco going on in the White House. And people don't see it. It's sad. They don't see it. So, in conclusion, I got to wrap this up, folks, but in conclusion, I have to leave this on the table. I'm very concerned that if Trump survives the impeachment process, he's going to be very mad at those who brought charges against him, at those who questioned him. Trump is not a guy that's very forgiving. He is very vindictive. He loves vengeance. He likes payback. He hits back, and he hits back hard. He has stated this publicly. He hits back hard.
And, you know, these aren't things that you learn in business school, but, you know, I believe in it. Get even with people. If they screw you, screw them back 10 times as hard. I really believe that.
I would have wiped the floor with the guys that weren't loyal, which I will now do, which is great. You know, I love getting even with people, but I will.
Slow
I will have wiped.
You love getting even.
Oh, absolutely. You don't believe in the eye for the eye. You do. No. I know you well enough. I think you do. But anyway, but.
But tell me, I mean, you're going to get even with some people.
Yeah, I know. If given the opportunity, I will get even with some people that were disloyal to me. I mean, I had a group of people that were disloyal.
But how do you define disloyalty?
They didn't come to my aid.
Well, what did they do? They turned their back on you?
No, but they didn't do small things that would have helped. You see, I'm so loyal to people, and maybe I'm loyal to a fault, but I'm so loyal to people that when somebody's slightly disloyal to me, I look upon it as a great act of horror.
There it is, folks. The proof that the man in the White House is a vengeful, vindictive, angry, bitter person. You know, the sad thing about all of this, and the pathetic thing, and the scary thing, is that the church is okay with it. The church likes that he's mean. The church likes that he's a bad boy. The church likes that he acts like a mafioso type figure. They like having a tyrant. The church enjoys a strongman, and they show it because they're okay with this. This is totally contradictory to the Bible. The Bible does not say to behave this way. The Bible says that God is love, and if anyone who calls himself a Christian, if anyone claims to know God and does not have love, then they don't know God. And if they cannot forgive, then they will not be forgiven. Jesus said that. If you can't forgive others, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. But here we have a man in the White House who's the poster boy, the icon that has been elevated by the church, who has this type of heart, a heart of hatred and bitterness. What I'm sharing right now should bother all of you. It should bother every one of you if anyone who calls himself a Christian is willing to place this on the table and consider it in the scales of God's righteousness. The answer is obvious, folks, that Trump is dangerous. He is a dangerous man who was placed on the throne by the evangelicals. It's coming, folks. Trump feels very strong about loyalty versus disloyalty, and if someone is not loyal to him, he will go out of his way to get revenge. He has said this over and over, and I just played a soundbite that proves it. And if someone crosses him, he will go out of his way to make their life miserable. And folks, this type of thinking reveals that his soul has been seared with a hot iron. It shows that he has no empathy, he has no sympathy, he doesn't forgive, he doesn't have compassion. That should bother you, because all of those evangelicals who cheer for him on the stage and at his rallies and massage his ego do not realize that if they stop massaging his ego, or if they call into question any of his intentions or motives, he's going to turn on them. Trump will turn on anybody. He'll turn on close friends, business associates, family members. He'll turn on them. We have reached an apex, the top of a mountain, the crest of America's greatness, and the country is about to be kicked over the side by Donald Trump. But how many will follow? How many will follow like lemmings over the cliff? The outcome of the situation right now, whether he gets impeached or he doesn't, does not look good. Now, is there a third option? A third option that says everything will go away, it'll die down, Trump will not do anything, he will not react, he will not hit back, he will not seek revenge, and he'll just go into the sunset. Is that possible? That's the scenario I would like to see happen, but I don't know if it will, folks. That's why I'm sharing all of this. The nation's in trouble, and potentially we're watching Bible prophecy unfold where the lawless one is before our eyes. After the impeachment inquiry either succeeds or fails, we're going to have a new world to look at. We're going to have a political atmosphere that's going to be very, very volatile, where Donald Trump is either going to get revenge or he's going to be gone. Or if they vote to impeach him, he has the ability to stop himself from leaving office by declaring a national emergency. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for those who would say that Donald Trump would never try to invoke his executive privilege or executive abilities for his own gain, if Donald Trump gets angry enough, and if he feels threatened, and if he feels cornered, or if the spirits inside him decide to activate him and take him into the next level, into the dark side, he's going to use certain privileges. He's going to use certain legislative privileges, because the president has a lot of power at his disposal. He can operate outside of congressional bills. He can place a signing statement on a bill or declare a national emergency, which then allows him a lot of leeway by using the emergency powers legislation. And the president of the United States has at his disposal the ability to make mandates and proclamations and laws at the stroke of a pen. All he has to do is sign it or write it out. And there are a number of legal channels that he could use to support a power grab. He has executive orders at his disposal, presidential directives. There are executive actions, signing statements, presidential proclamations, administrative orders, national security directives, as well as homeland security presidential directives. And then there's some new ones that have shown up recently. The PPDs, presidential policy directives, or NSPMs, which are national security presidential memorandas, which Donald Trump has signed. So there's a lot of freedom available for Donald Trump. This is why I'm very concerned, ladies and gentlemen. All he has to do is sign one of them. Now, in 2007, President George Bush signed a presidential directive called Directive 51 that was a framework for the continuity of government. And over the years, it has been adjusted, it has been amended, it has been changed, but the power of the continuity of government framework still exists, which states that in the event of a national emergency, then the executive branch will work with Homeland Security and FEMA to pretty much lock down the entire country. You can look it up yourself, folks. There are directives out there that talk about all of this. Donald Trump was involved in a new one called the Federal Continuity Directive, Parts 1 and 2. Then there's the Presidential Policy Directive, the PPD 40. There's a lot of them to mention. There's a lot of them. But they are Federal Continuity Directives, FCDs, or Continuity of Government. There's a lot of different names of them, but they have them in the books. And some of the policy that is in continuity of government is classified. So we as citizens can't even see what their plan is in the event of a national emergency, which would activate the powers of the continuity of government and martial law, which effectively flips the switch on the Constitution. So these things are on the books, folks. They're there, and we need to be watching. We need to be observing and paying attention to what Donald Trump is doing, because he's going to get mad. When we look at Daniel chapter 7 and 8 and 11 about the Antichrist, about the little horn and how angry he gets, he will go off and start wars. He will have a temper. He will go out to destroy and annihilate. So it's interesting that Donald Trump has the same temperament. So folks, we cannot just overlook it. So I have to talk about this, and that's why I'm doing it, because we're at a crossroads, folks. I hope that I'm wrong. I pray that I'm wrong. I want to be wrong about this. I do. But in the meantime, Trump still has that in his back pocket. He can still use that. He has the ability to send troops to do different things, to start wars. He has a lot of power, folks. If Trump is not the Antichrist, then we're watching something very interesting. We're watching a case study that I find very interesting to dissect and This case study proves how deceived and confused people, regular folks, can become, even if they call themselves Christian. It proves that even Christians have the capacity for deception. And that's disturbing, folks. So this thing's in real time. It's playing out. And now is not the time to be goofing off. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring you this message with a spirit that is sober. We need to make sure that we are not slumbering. All of us need to make sure, ladies and gentlemen. All of us. All of you. So I'm going to end this program now. I'm out of time. I have a lot more to share. And day to day, the news cycle is revealing more and more things. So be vigilant and be careful. Also, if we happen to wake up with the news that some major catastrophic event took place, if you wake up with that news, most likely we're going to be watching theater. And most likely we're going to be witnessing deception. So keep that in mind, folks. Please. And above all things, do not allow yourself to be led astray by the leaven from politicians, which includes Donald Trump and the Republican Party and Fox News and pulpits who politicize Trump and make him into a savior. Stay vigilant, folks, because God's watching. Let's be smart in this. We've already been down this road. History already has examples. A few moments ago, Allison shared how the church in Germany, the Christians in Germany, believed Hitler was safe. He was a Christian, but he had an ulterior motive. And now looking back, we see that he was lying the whole time. And you know, if people would have examined the fruit of Hitler during the entire narrative, they would have seen that the fruit did not match what he was claiming or promising. In the same way, we can watch that now. Fruit doesn't lie. It never lies. And the fruit from the present administration in the American government, it is defiled. So please don't let it lie to you. Well, Nathan, tell me who to vote for. I'm not going to do that. I can't. If you want to know what I do, at this point in time, none of the above are worthy of my vote. None. I cannot in good conscience ever vote for someone who's a tyrant, who's potentially the Antichrist. I couldn't do that in spite of the opposition. I don't want Hillary either. I don't want anyone on the left. I don't want Bernie. I don't want the mayor. You know, that mayor that has confused about his gender choices. I don't want him. I don't want Beto, who wants to take away your guns. I don't want him. But I also don't want Donald Trump, who wants to place himself as the golden-haired man with an iron fist. I don't want that either. So what am I going to do? I guess that's to be determined, huh, folks? Anyway, we are running out of time. I appreciate all of you that have listened to this. Take these matters to heart. Pray about what you hear. And also, folks, remember us in your support, because I'm bringing you the truth, and I'm going to continue bringing you the truth, and I have a lot more truth that I'm going to be sharing with you. I'm going to be interviewing Allison in some future programs. We're going to talk about these things. I also have a sermon that's coming. So, folks, remember Watchman's Cry. Remember us. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to the website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. All right, folks. Well, I thank you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate that you are willing to hear this warning. Stay vigilant. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.